right. If you got your Bibles, turn to Jude. We will be in Jude. We started this a few weeks ago. As Joe said, we've got 25 verses and 3 months to get through it. So we're going to talk about that today, Jude 14 through 16. How many of you here and online remember the first time your parents gave you the keys to drive their car? Right? Nobody over here. Just check it. Right? But you remember that, right? How many of you remember the first time you gave your keys to your child to drive your car? Yeah, right? Now, this was my first car. This isn't exactly it, but the first car that I got to drive was a 1969 Dodge Dart. Gold, fake leather interior, black roof, right? Mine was cooler. It had snow tires, so it looked jacked up, right? It was the 80s, so I had the cassette player and the Pioneer cassette player. If you're old enough, you remember the equalizer we put underneath the dash with the 12,000 wires, the Jensen speakers. Listen, it was a sweet ride. Here's the thing. It was the only ride we had as a family, and there was only one person in our family that had a job, and that was my dad. And I remember the first time he gave me the keys to his car. And I thought to myself, even back then, this is the dumbest plan in the world. 16, and he's giving me the keys to his car, not gonna go with me, and saying, see you later, right? And then I remember the feeling as a parent the first time I gave the keys of my car to my 16-year-old, and I went, that's a dumber plan than I thought it was when it happened to me, right? I remember giving the keys to my oldest son. It was a Mitsubishi Galant. It ended up in a cornfield, right? With both airbags exploded, right? I remember giving the keys to my Dodge Caravan to my other son. And I remember standing at the window during wintertime as he drove to school early by himself for football practice at 6 a.m. And I remember watching my van drive straight into the ditch. And when I called him, I won't say tell you what he said first, but the second thing he said was, when I asked him what happened, he said, I don't know, I was adjusting the radio. And then I remember giving the keys of a Kia Sedona that had been generously given to our family when we were here to another son. And I remember the phone call I got from him saying, hey, we might have a problem. I just drove the van over a full-size tire on Interstate 75. Giving the keys to your car to a person who's 16 is a dumb plan, yes or no? It's a dumb plan. But I tell you, I think God's plan that Jude talks about in Jude 3 and 4 is a dumber plan. Listen to this. Jude 3 and 4 says this. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, he said, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Listen to this. For the faith that was, everybody say it, once and for all delivered or entrusted to the saints. So I need you to understand this. God, how many of you think God created the earth, heavens and the earth in 6 days? Say amen. Amen. Right? And how many of you believe that God's way is perfect? Say amen. Amen. God's plan, this is God's plan for mankind to get his faith, to get the faith needed to be in a relationship with him, was to give it to you. Just look around a second. I know it's not Saturday night, so it's a better looking crowd, so just take a minute, right? But he entrusted his plan to get the gospel to everyone, to us. I don't know if you've met you or you've met others like you, but if I'm God and I'm perfect, that seems like a dumb plan. Because I don't know about you, but I can tell you from my life that if God decided that I was worthy of entrusting his plan once and for all time to me, I'm gonna mess it up. Yes or no? We're gonna mess it up. Because the plan doesn't make sense that a perfect God would choose imperfect people and go, hey, the faith delivered once and for all. I'm giving it to the saints, you and me. That's a crazier plan than giving me the keys to your car at 16. Because I've been one of those people now for 40 years. You've been one of those people. And you know you. And if you don't know you, turn to the person that you came to church with and they'll tell you about you. And they'll tell you that's a dumb plan. And yet God decided it was the right plan. And here's the thing. If that's God's plan, we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help. And so Jude writes this letter, and his whole motive in the letter is to help us by giving us these warnings along the way. And Jude 14 through 16 is no different. So I'm asking you to stand. We're going to read these three verses, and we're going to pick out two warnings that Jude gives us as we try to carry out this plan. Jude writes, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord, say that two-letter word. Is. Everybody say is. The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to do what? Judge who? Everyone. And to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way. And of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men or women that they will judge are grumblers, they're fault finders, they follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. You can be seated. I think it's a crazy plan. I'm reminded every day that I think it's a crazy plan that God chose us to handle the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And I'm sure if you took a minute to just inventory your life and the ups and downs of how you've had just trying to live out your faith, you would agree as well. It is an incredibly complicated plan to put something perfect and something eternal in you and me. That's a complicated plan. So Jude gives us two warnings to help us, right? Because he tells us that you and I are to contend for this faith. That Greek word there is the word we get agony from. He says you and I are to agonize over this thing. We've got to put effort into it because that's what it's going to take for you and I to be successful in this mission. So here's the first warning, right? The first warning. Read it with me, church, online in here. Judgment has come. Verse 14 says this, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men and said, see, the Lord is coming. He is coming to judge everyone. Here's the problem. In the Greek language that the Bible, the New Testament was written in, it is not is coming. The word is has come. It is an aorist, indicative, active, which simply means this. He's referring to an act that happened back in the day, and it was finished, and there's lasting effect. He isn't saying Jesus is coming. He's saying that the Lord has come and brought judgment already. Let me show you a picture of a friend of Joe and I's. This is a picture that we took on our last retreat last year in Louisville, Kentucky. I think Joe's taking a picture of himself. I don't know what he's doing, right? But this right here is the youth pastor that got Joe to go to Bible college. This is Tom Hunter. He's our dear, dear friend. And Tom graduated in front of us. And it took Tom almost 5 years to graduate from Bible college. So the day that we got to his graduation was a really big deal. He was nervous, we were nervous, because if you'd known Tom, getting him from the door of college and getting him graduated 5 years later, it took a village, okay? It took a long time. So we're at graduation and I'm watching him. Tom and I are dear friends in college, best of friends. And I'm watching him, and he goes up and he gets his name announced, and we clap and we cheer for him, and he sits down, and I notice that as the ceremony's going on, his face is getting redder and redder. Because Tom's one of those people, like some of you, that you can tell what you're feeling just by looking at your face. And I can tell something isn't right. So as soon as the ceremony's over, I make a beeline for him with Joe. And he is ready to hurt somebody. And we're like, what is going on? And he opens his diploma to show us that when he opened it, there was a blank piece of paper in it. He did not get a diploma. And he was furious. And at that moment, Joe and I were trying to decide whether we should unleash him on the administration or tackle him, because he was furious. When we got to the administration office and got him calmed down enough to talk, he wanted to know why he didn't get a diploma. And here's what he was notified of. He was notified that he was not a graduate until he paid his overdue library fine. Unfortunately for Tom and that fine, that book had been thrown away a long time ago, right? But here's what happened. Tom had already been judged as a non-graduate. The day of graduation was the day he was simply notified. Here's what Jude is saying as a warning to everybody online and everybody in here. Judgment isn't coming. Judgment has come. That in the person and the work of Jesus, the death and the burial and the resurrection, Jesus has already come now to judge everyone according to what they've done. We're not waiting on it. No. When Jesus comes a second time, it'll just simply to notify you of your judgment that you already have. Because listen to what John writes in John 3. He says this, just so you know, I'm not making this up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Online in here, how many of you believe in Jesus? Say amen. Amen. He said, eternal life is yours. It's yours. Because God didn't send his son into the world to judge or to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. Listen to this. Whoever believes in Jesus is not judged. Believers in Jesus, what do you want to say to God for that? Say amen. Right? But listen to this. But whoever does not believe stands condemned, what? Already, because he or she has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Judgment isn't coming. Judgment's already here. And here's the judgment. You either know Jesus or you don't. You either stand not judged and not condemned, or you stand judged and condemned. And the reality is this, that when it comes to the world that we live in, listen, you and I, we judge people all the time, right? We walk into church and we judge people's outfits, right? I mean, how many of you had conversations on the way into the building talking about, did you see what they were wearing? Did they really think that was appropriate for church, right? Like, we do those kind of things. We judge the cars people drive. We judge the words people say. We judge the jobs people have. We judge people's haircuts. We judge all kinds of things because we like to judge. The word itself means to separate, to push people out here and go, hey, they don't belong. And we are notorious for doing that. We've done that with black and white, right? We've done it with rich and poor, right? We do it with all kinds of things. Apparently, Jason Holt does it between IndyCar and NASCAR, all right? Like, we judge. But here's the thing, online, in here, there are only two groups of people in the world. Only two. There are those who believe in Jesus and are not condemned, and all of those that applies to say what? Amen. And there are those that don't believe in Jesus and they've already been judged. His return will simply mean notification of that judgment. Listen to Revelation 20. It says this, he describes it. He said, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. He said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before that throne. And listen to this, books, not book, but books were opened. And a second book or another book was opened, which is the book of life. Check this out. The dead are judged according to what they had done as recorded in their books. Leave that right there. Did you know that? Did you know that there is a book that has everything you've done and said in it that will be opened at the day of notification? Listen, I don't know about you, but when I read that, my greatest fear is that my wife and I will be killed in a car wreck together and she'll be standing in line behind me when they open my book. I mean, that's a real fear for me, right? Because listen, some of us don't have a book. Some of us have a series of books, right? Think about it for a second. How many of you online and in here would be comfortable standing before a holy God and letting the book of every act and every word you've ever done be what you get judged by according to a God who is holy? Anybody comfortable with that? No. 6:30 crowd all wave their hand. They don't care, right? Like, listen, that is a crazy thought. But listen to this. He says not only were they judged according to that, but then he says this, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person, again, was judged according to what he or she has done. But then he said this, death and Hades get thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second and last death. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, they are thrown into the lake of fire. It's that simple, right? We've made it so complicated. And listen, we get emails, Joe gets emails, right? Where some people email and say that he's too harsh and he's too hard, right? Well, he gets emails every week that his jokes are stupid, but he gets emails, right? That we're preaching too hard. You're going to offend people. Listen, if you love somebody, and I'm assuming everybody in here and online loves somebody that doesn't know Jesus, you owe it to them to tell them about Jesus. Because the judgment that has come into the world through Jesus is present, and it divides only two ways: believing and not judged, or not believing and being judged. And that throne that Revelation talks about is a day of notification. That's all it is. Because either your name will be written in that book of life and your book will not be used to judge you, or your name will not be written and your book and all of its deeds will be what God uses to judge you. And here's what he says. If that's you, you're notified of your eternal place, the lake of fire. Listen, there's no getting around that. That's why we say here all the time, we exist to make it hard for people to go to hell from this generation. If you want to say it in a way that 2025 sounds better, it's simply this. We exist to do everything possible to make it nearly impossible for people to reject Jesus. Why? Because judgment has come into the world. Listen to John 3. He writes this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world in the form of Jesus. But men and women, they love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil, right? There's a way that we know this. You live in the same world I live in, right? The reality is the world that we live in is full of evil. Yes or no? It's full of evil, right? And listen, you and I have also participated in evil. And when we participate in those evil acts, the last thing we want to do is broadcast them to the world, right? We don't want everybody to know it. The whole concept of hiding in the dark for our evil and letting the good things that we see be seen in the light, we get that concept. But why would you not want to live that way if you don't believe? Listen, there's no reason not to live in the darkness unless you believe that judgment has already come. If you don't believe that judgment has come, then go ahead and live that way. But if you believe that judgment is already here in the person and the work of Jesus, then you want to avoid that. So listen, if you're online and you're in here and you don't know Jesus, listen, you can be offended, you can be mad, you can be aggravated, but know this, Jesus died for you, paid the price for you, God raised him from the dead for you, and now because of that, there's only one decision to make, believe in him as my Lord and Savior or reject him as my Lord and Savior. And we owe it to you because we love you enough to tell you, listen, you need to believe in Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. And for those of us that in here that know Jesus, can we just understand this? That there's no reason to judge people for anything other than whether they believe in Jesus. We don't need to judge people based on the millions of things that we judge people by. Listen, if the world is judged by Jesus and the world can be saved by Jesus, then the world needs who? The world needs Jesus. Which means when they see you, they need to see who? And when they hear you, they need to hear who? Listen, you and I have a huge responsibility in this. Why? Because God said, the faith that I'm gonna deliver once, and it's gonna be for all time and for all people, I'm giving it to you, Tomoka Christian Church. I will do the judging. You do the part of letting Jesus be seen in you. What would the church be like if the church judged less and showed Jesus more? Right? Listen, we spend way too much time judging people. We should be showing people Jesus and what that looks like. Right? Listen to this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, right? Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes this: "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person," right? "Such a man or a woman is an idolater. Those people don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God," which simply means they don't believe in Jesus, right? Because every one of us in here at times has been an idolater, even as a believer. The separation isn't the action. The separation is the action without Jesus. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words," right? "For because of such things, God's wrath comes," is it coming, "has come on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You were in the darkness once, but you're in the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." Listen, how many of you believe that Jesus will be the sole arbiter of judgment day, of notifying people of whether they get into heaven or not? How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Right? And how many people in the world do you think need Jesus at this point in time? And how many people do you think who live in Ormond and in Volusia County and in Flagler County need Jesus? All of them. And God's decided that the plan he has in place is to let us do that. He will judge. We show people Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So listen, if you don't know Jesus today, there's nothing else for you to decide. It's all about whether you believe in Jesus. And listen, that might be offensive to you. Trust me, when I sat in the church for a year not knowing Jesus and I heard this stuff, I was offended. If it hadn't been for a pretty girl in youth group, I would have quit going, right? But I kept going, and God's word kept convicting me, and I kept getting madder, and I kept getting angrier. I understand the offense that you can feel, but if we love you, we're going to tell you. Judgment isn't coming because of your choices. We're all sinners. Judgment will come, and notification will follow because you don't believe in Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Amen, church? Which means, if you don't know him, you need to know him. There's a room called Guidance Point in the lobby. We'd love to talk to you up there. If you're online, there's a button. I have decided. Push that. Pastor John and his team will help you. But church, if the world needs Jesus, and we've been entrusted with Jesus, then we need to act like Jesus and let him handle the judgment. Somebody say amen. Here's the second warning. Don't follow the wrong leader. Don't follow the wrong leader. Let me show you a picture. You tell me if you know who this is. Yeah. This is General George Armstrong Custer, famously known for the Battle of the Little Bighorn. June 25th and 26th in 1876, Custer and his 700 men decided to attack the Lakota Indians and the Cherokee and the other tribes surrounding them with his 700 men. Unbeknownst to him, because of his poor scouting report and the division of his army, he faced an army that was three times the size in the Lakota Indians. And history records this, that when the battle was over after 2 days of fighting, 274 of his 700 men were dead and 49 more were wounded. And only 31 of the Native Indians were dead at the attack. There's not a historian that you can read that won't tell you this. The reason that the army failed that day and were defeated at the Battle of Little Bighorn was because of poor leadership. Because they trusted in a leader that shouldn't have been trusted. And he trusted in two leaders that shouldn't have been trusted. Listen, you know this as well as I do. When you follow the wrong person, you end up on the wrong road. Yes? Because how many of you had parents tell you, be careful who you hang out with? And how many of you have told your kids, I don't like that friend, they're trouble, right? Because we know how that works. The danger in this church that Jude is writing to, a danger for all of us is this: there are people who are infiltrating the church and now telling you it's okay to follow somebody else besides Jesus when it comes to your choices. Listen to verse 16 in Jude. He says this, these men are what? These are identification marks, right? Anybody in here a grumbler? How about a fault finder, right? He says these are fault finders and grumblers, and they do what? They follow their own desires. So they decided that instead of letting the Lord lead, they will follow themselves. You ever love somebody that decided to follow their own desires instead of the Lord's desires and suffered the consequence of that? You ever raised a child that you loved who chose to follow their own desires instead of the Lord's desires? Yes or no? You know the pain of that. And here's why you know it. Because we're not very good at leading ourselves. There's not a one of you in this room, and there's not a one of you online, and there's not one person on this platform that hasn't at times followed their own desires into a disastrous path. Yes or no? Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to us, and the end of that way is destruction or death. Right? That's the way Peter described it. He said this, you've got to understand that in the last days, scoffers are going to come. How many of you believe we're in the last days? Right? He said scoffers are going to come. What are they going to do? They're going to scoff and mock. And they're going to do what? Follow their own desires. They're going to say, where is he? Where's he coming? Where's the coming that he promised? Ever since the fathers died, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they've forgotten deliberately that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed. The earth was formed out of water and by water. And by those same waters, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. He says the same word that destroyed that before, right, has the present heavens and the present earth reserved for what? Fire, being kept for the day of notification or separation and the destruction of what kind of people? Ungodly people. You see, here's the thing. Judgment has come in the form of Jesus. And there's only two groups, those that believe in Jesus and those that don't. And there's only two leaders. It's either God or it's ultimately you. Because false teachers don't care about you believing them. False teachers have one desire, to get you to do what you want to do, to simply let you live your life. Listen, the Methodist Church fell. The Methodist Church, one of the stalwarts of the Christian faith for centuries, founded by John Wesley and built on God's word, it completely fell because within the ranks of the Methodist Church, they taught people you can name Jesus Lord of your life and still follow your own desires. Listen, that's not true. That's not true. There's only two things to do. You either follow the Lord's will or you follow your own will. And here's the thing. If you follow your own will, the Bible says this present heaven and present earth, they're reserved for fire to judge ungodly men and ungodly women. So think about it, online and here. Where are you at right now? When it comes to your sexual preferences and your sexual morality, when it comes to your morality in other areas like drinking or in other addictions, right? Whether it's drug use or whatever it is, do you follow your own desires or are you following the Lord's will? Because the warning is this, we need to agonize over this faith that God delivered to us once and for every person. And the warning is this, judgment has come in the person of Jesus. And the second warning is this, don't get trapped in the idea that you're smart enough to lead yourself and ignore the Lord's will. Listen, part of the struggle within the church has always been, and I am sitting here saying this as a guilty person, as a person who did this for 7 years of my life, named Jesus Lord, and for 7 years went, you know what? I'll be a better leader of my life than you have been. That ended disastrously. Because when we follow our own desires, it always leads to destruction. There's too many people coming to church saying that Jesus is Lord, and yet when it comes to who they'll sleep with, how often they'll sleep with them, whether they'll watch porn, whether they'll have an affair, whether they'll get drunk, whether they'll be addicted to this, you don't consider God's will. You consider your own evil desires. And I can tell you, we have a counseling department that would verify that because of all the stuff that we deal with from broken people who are simply living life as a result of somebody's selfish choices. The warning is this, follow God's will and not your own. Listen to Ephesians 5. He says, be very careful then how you live. Don't live as a fool, but as a wise person. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Not mine, his. And listen, we all know, We're real people here. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do to surrender your will and your evil desires to his will. True? It's not easy. Why do you think Jude gave these warnings? Because the job we have to get people to Jesus, because there's only two groups that stand at the day of notification, those whose name is in the book and those that are not. Why do you think he gives the warning? Because listen, there were people in your home right now that are on the other side of that notification, and they need Jesus, which means they need you to follow the Lord's will and not your own. And not your own. How many broken marriages? How many broken homes? How many broken children? How many broken churches by leaders who chose to follow their own desires? And listen, we live in a world today where churches all the time now are telling you it's okay for you to choose those things because God's love is the only thing that matters. He loves you. Can we be clear about something? God loves all of us. Somebody say thank you. He loves all of us. But just because he loves us doesn't mean he's going to love us in a way that lets us do whatever we want to do. I've got a 6-year-old grandson. If I let that boy do whatever he wanted to do, he'd be expelled from school. And he'd probably be grounded in our home every single day. Because as my daughter told me yesterday, I'm taking his TV out of his room because he's a liar, he's a cheat, and he's a bully. How was your day, honey? Right? Apparently, it didn't go well with her six-year-old yesterday. Because listen, we all have that in us. And can you imagine knowing that Jesus is the only thing that separates people from heaven and hell, and those that follow Jesus choose to live the way they want to instead of the way the Lord wants them to? Peter said this. He said in chapter 4, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but we live our life, what? Rather for the will of God." Peter says this, we've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose, right? Living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness and orgies and carousing and detestable idolatry, right? We've had enough of that. And the people that you're around may think it's strange that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of behavior and heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who's ready to what? Separate the living and the dead. Listen, it's time for the church to heed the warnings. Jesus has come and brought judgment with him. There are two kinds of people in the world. You either believe in Jesus and are not judged, amen, church, or you don't, and you are. And you may not come back. You may never come back, or you may come back in 6 months because this bothers you and you're offended by it. That's okay. You need Jesus because that judgment is here. And guess what, church? Here's the second warning. Don't lose sight of your leader. The Lord's will is our lead, not our desires. Your desires are like my desires. They're stupid, they're selfish, they're evil, they're harmful. And yes, I know at times we fall prey to it. I do, and so do you. But as an overall goal, our goal is to live our life under the leadership of the Lord and not ourselves. Because here's the thing. You can't save a soul, but Jesus can save everybody. Amen, church? So I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're gonna read this verse of confirmation together in Luke chapter 9. It's quite a plan that God's got to entrust the gospel to people like me and you. I can't imagine why he would do it. We stood here today and we listened to Jason and Kelly share their heart for ministry to a group of people that most of us couldn't relate to if we tried. IndyCar families and racers that you can watch on TV making millions of dollars, right? But living lives outside of the will of God because they don't know Jesus. That's why we partner with people like Jason. It's why we go all over the world because people need Jesus. Amen, church? So let's affirm this together in Luke 9. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself." That's our challenge. Amen, church? Amen. Deny self so that we can follow him. Heed the warning because judgment's come and people need Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. So, Father, today, thank you for the chance to study your word and the letter that the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write. Ormond Beach needs Jesus. Holly Hill needs Jesus. Daytona Beach and South Daytona, Daytona Beach Shores, Port Orange, Bunnell, New Smyrna, DeLand, they all need Jesus. The world needs Jesus, and you've entrusted that plan to us. God, help us to heed the warning, to make Jesus known, to not be judgmental, and to make sure that we always follow your will and not our own. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day.